Hope you enjoyed that song by Carl Klang. Caught the last bit of that. We welcome you here to 7x70. Thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We're coming to you live this Thursday night, October 8th, 2015, live from a wet and rainy radio ranch. So, hey, get your Bibles out and get your phones out. We'll have open phone lines tonight. Want to talk tonight about some current events. We'll take your calls and comments on some current events as well. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this. Good evening, and thank you for joining us here this Thursday night. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you, as we said, live from the Radio Ranch, just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And make sure I got the knobs turned on here so I'm not too loud and I can hear what's going on. And again, we'll have the phone lines open up tonight, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, you don't have to. I've got some current events I thought I'd talk about a little bit tonight. Plenty going on, from fires on one side of the country still to flooding on the other, and many, many things going on in between. So thought we might talk a little bit about that. And oh, things not only going on here, this invasion that we're experiencing right now, not only here, but, well, overseas as well. But we better go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before we go any further. And we'll do just that. Join me, won't you? Heavenly Father, we do come to you, Father, on Lord, in humbleness and humility. Lord, in awe that you have called us, that you called us out of the darkness of this world. And that, Father, you've shown us, you've given us the opportunity to step into your marvelous light, Lord, to be redeemed. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the wonderful mercy that you pour out upon us, Lord. And we thank you for giving your Son, Jesus Christ, that ultimate sacrifice, Lord, that blood sacrifice to forgive us and to redeem us, your people. Thank you, Lord. I pray for your blessings on the broadcast tonight, that, Lord, you would be with me here at the Radio Ranch and be with the remnant as they gather around the radio, Lord, or the computer, or the however they listen on the internet, Lord, or on their phones. And I thank you for them, Lord. We ask your blessings to be upon them. Lord, give your people eyes to see. Give your people ears to hear. Lord, give your people wisdom and discernment and understanding. That's our request, Lord. Open the eyes. Awaken your people, O Lord. Awaken them to the destruction that's around them, to the reason why. To the reason why, Lord. And Father, let repentance roar through the land, Lord, as a revival. Lord, we need a revival of repentance in the land, Lord, of forgiveness and repentance, of returning to you. That's our request, Lord. I pray that you would be with me, guide and direct me, Lord, my thoughts and my words this evening, that, Lord, it will be a time of sweet fellowship among the remnant, and a time of sweet fellowship with you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, hopefully you're reading your Bibles. We've got the Bible reading plan, and You know, until the end of the year, I think we're just going to keep reminding you of that. We're in Matthew now. And, you know, if you just haven't sat down and read, you only need to read a couple chapters a day. The book of Matthew. There are things in here that are just, you know, regarding judging and prayer and just everything. The Sermon on the Mount. Oh, what a blessing just to sit down and read that. And in part of that, here in Matthew 5, I had highlighted it in my Bible. And I thought I would just share it. You know, my program name here is 7 times 70. And it comes from a little bit further in Matthew when Jesus and Peter are talking about forgiveness. And, you know, Peter gets a little personal lesson on forgiveness right here. And boy, that is going to be put to the test a little bit later in Matthew when Peter denies Christ. But then is forgiven for it. And so I encourage you to read Matthew 18, at least starting, maybe in verse 21. And read through that, because it talks about forgiveness and it teaches forgiveness. And that was what I wanted to talk about tonight, but I thought, you know, there's so much going on. I really want to talk about at least a couple of current events that are going on, some things that the U.S. Mayors Association group is doing. I think that's what they call it, and Mayors Network. But a couple things here first from the book of Matthew. And so, read Matthew 18, it's on forgiveness. But back here in Matthew 5, which is the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about, and he presents here in Matthew 5, and we'll start maybe in verse 23 and just read a couple verses here, because it's on my mind, and that's where my Bible's open to tonight. But Matthew 5, starting in verse 23, says, "Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quick." Well, we'll stop there. So just verse 23 and 24. And, you know, look at the precept that's there. The concept that it's getting across is that if you remember that, not that you have something against your brother, but that if your brother has something against you, leave your offering there. Go, first be reconciled, and then come and present your offering. And so, boy, it seems like that there's a whole sermon in that. But that goes against our normal way of thinking. I think it does, our humanistic way. But we're told to do that there. And so, you know, when we have, and I think it just presents to us that we're to have the right heart when we come, as it says here, to the altar. Now, we don't go to the altar today, but, you know, we do gather with each other on Sunday. We do have church services, and we do partake of communion. And I think that's a good representation of going to that sacrificial altar of old. It's when we come to the communion table today. And so, when we do that, you know, we are to do our best to be reconciled with our brethren. And so, you know, if you've had a brother offend you, forgive him. It's as simple as that. It's not hard to do. It really isn't. Oh, it seems like that's the hardest thing to do. You hear that from so many people. Oh, I can't forgive him. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know the things he said. You don't know. Oh, I know. I'd never. He doesn't deserve to be forgiven. And you know what? Maybe that's true. Maybe that person that wronged you doesn't deserve to be forgiven. But you know what, brother? You don't deserve to be forgiven either. And I certainly don't deserve the forgiveness that's been offered to me, that's been given to me. See, that's the whole thing. We don't deserve the forgiveness that God and Jesus Christ have given us. No. No, in all our righteousness, in keeping all the law that we think we keep, not one is righteous because of that. And not one is deserving of forgiveness because of all that. Not one. And so we need to remember that. But let's also remember, and let's flip back over there. Well, hey, we'll just stay right here in Matthew 6, just on the next page. Matthew 6, verse 14. And it says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So, brother, sister, if you've been wronged, if something's happened to you, you know, maybe you were abused. Maybe you were robbed. Maybe you were stolen from. Maybe you were slandered. You know, I can think right now, I'm not going to name names, but I can think of a certain individual that has certainly slandered me. And you know, I have to forgive him. I don't know if I have. Lord Jesus, I forgive that person. Lord, maybe they didn't know what they were saying. Maybe they did. I don't care. I can't carry that around with me, Lord. I can't worry about that. I need to give that to you. I know, Jesus, that's one of the reasons you went to the cross. As we read last night in Isaiah, to take our sorrows and our guilt and our troubles and in our sins and our sicknesses, Lord, and you went there for our well-being. And Lord, my well-being isn't well if I'm harboring this unforgiveness. So Lord, I forgive this person. I forgive this person for slandering me, for speaking lies. Lord, so be it. I forgive them. I forgive them, Lord. But Lord, I know I must do that. I know that it blesses me when I do that, Lord, that this forgiveness is, it's not for them, but it's for me, Lord. But I do, I forgive them. And Lord, let me forgive any who have slandered me. And Lord, I ask that those that maybe I've slandered, that those, Lord, that I've spoke ill of, or Lord, those that I've thought ill of, Lord, those that I've wronged, Lord, I ask that they would forgive me. I ask for forgiveness, Lord, from you and from them. Help us to do this, Lord, to do it from the heart, to mean it, to say it, and to let it go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we had some texts rolling around with some of the men today, and I'll check my phone here, see if I can bring them back up real quick, because it was along those same lines. And again, I wanted to talk about this tonight, but then I wanted to talk about some current events, but let's go over, yeah, Matthew 18, we talked about that. You know, and I appreciate Brother Ralph, you send these texts out, and I appreciate that. I'm going to, just one part of it you had here. It says, forgive because it is written to do so. It's a command. It is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Not only a blessing to us, but it's something that that we are to do that is just the opposite of the world. Just the opposite. We read here in Matthew 6, Verse 14, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Verse 15, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Now, that's what the Bible says. So if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. It doesn't matter what the other person did to you. It doesn't. Now, when you forgive, it doesn't let the other person off the hook. But see, it keeps that bitterness and that gall from settling in you, from you holding on to unforgiveness. That's not a healthy place to be holding on to that unforgiveness. Well, that was on my mind tonight. We are to forgive. Jesus Christ is our example, fellow Christians, and He forgave. Now, You might say, well, what about God's enemy? What about those Canaanites? What about those whateverites they are? Well, see, if you can forgive, then you leave that. See, you're able to turn that over to God when we forgive. Let's go back over to Isaiah. And I think I read this last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting. I did, Isaiah 53. And let's read that again, because it sure points to Jesus Christ. It's one of the many prophecies of Christ that he fulfilled, written 1,000 years, 800 years before the time of Christ. And it's Isaiah 53. Let's just read it real quick and we'll talk about this. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And I read from the New American Standard, and in verse 4 that I just read, where it says, surely our griefs he himself bore. That word griefs has a footnote, and it says, or sickness. So it could read, surely our sickness he himself bore. And when it says smitten of God, the footnote for that is struck down by God. And he was. And afflicted, it says. In verse 5, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being. And the footnote for that word well-being is peace. The chastening for our peace fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Oh, what a Savior that we have, that considered our well-being, it says here in verse 5, and the chastening for our well-being fell upon him. He said, Lord, I want him to be well. I want him to be healthy. I want him to be saved. I want him to be of sound mind and body and soul and spirit. And so punish me for their sins. Punish me for their transgressions. And God did. Now, this grace and mercy from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is offered. But you know, whether you take it or not, whether you accept it or not, no, not accept him into your heart as your personal Savior, but whether you turn and change and repent, well, that's up to you. That's that free will that you have. He gives you that. He doesn't want dogs to come to him that just have instinct. You know, dogs and animals, cows and sheep and birds, they have instinct. They do what they're programmed to do. That's not what God wants out of us. He wants our heart. He wants us to desire to serve him. And one of the ways that we do that, well, is we forgive. That's one of the ways. That's what comes out when we're reading here in Matthew this week. And we'll be finished with Matthew in just a few days and getting into Mark. And so, again, hopefully you're reading your Bible. Hopefully it's meaning to you what it's meaning to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you. Well, the phone lines are open tonight. 307-7444. 1-800-945-5913. If you want to call in, some of the current events. You know, there are, as I said in the introduction, a vast difference, East Coast to West Coast. The East Coast, South Carolina, still under floods. The governor still issuing more evacuation notices. The thousand-year flood, they're calling it. Now they don't know if it's a thousand-year flood. I used to live in South Carolina, right there, right out. I worked in Columbia, right where all this, the majority of this flooding is going on. And I can tell you some of the pictures I've seen, I remember some of those places from before we moved out here. And it's a mess. It is an absolute mess. We do need to be, and we ask you to keep his remnant in that area in your prayers, that they would be delivered, they would be safe. And why don't we do that right now? Heavenly Father, we do. We lift your people up, Lord. We lift those up to you that look to you for their health, safety, and welfare. And Lord, your word says that you are a rock, that you are a fortress, that you are a place of safety in perilous times. And so, Lord, we pray that for your people that are there, Lord, for those that have returned to you in thought, in word, in action, and in deed. And Lord, we pray your protection to be upon them. Deliver them, Lord. Keep them safe in the floods. Bring them through this safely, Lord. And let it be a testament to those who have returned to you. And let it glorify you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And that's what we have on the one coast. And over on the west coast, still have fires. Still have drought in California, in Southern California. And, you know, this is a time, should be a time of harvest. And, you know, there just ain't as much food being harvested in California this year, or in Oregon, or in Washington State, because the Oregon and Washington State are just coming out of a drought, the growing valleys, and California still is in and still burning up. Still have firefighters out in California fighting fires. You can sure ask you to keep them in your prayers as well. Well, another scripture verse, Matthew 10. A little different than what we read earlier, but I want to share it. Matthew 10, verses 31 through 33. Therefore, do not fear, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me, and that's Jesus Christ, before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And you know, recently there was a mass shooting over at Umpqua Community College in Oregon. And there were Christians killed. And the first news reports and tweets and texts and Twitters that came out, they said that this demonic killer had everybody get on the floor, and then he had them stand up one by one, and he held a gun to their face and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And if they said yes, he shot them dead in the face. And then he went to the next one and he asked them, "Are you a Christian?" And if they said no, well, he just shot him in the stomach or in the leg. And then he goes to the next one. And he says, "Are you a Christian?" And they said, "Yes." And he shot him dead. Now, this wasn't in Syria. This wasn't in Egypt. This wasn't in Mexico. This wasn't in Saudi Arabia. This was in Oregon. Christians martyred for being Christians. It has come here, remnant. Well, I see the phone ringing. I need to take a drink of water anyway. Let's go to the phone lines. Good evening. Thanks for calling in to 7x70.
Hey, Richard. This is Joe.
Hey, good evening, Joe.
Yeah, don't you know that Saudi Arabia, those sheikhs over there, and they're still, that still is a kingdom. It's not a country. It's a collection of tribes under a caliph. That's what they call a king. And those kings basically have harems numbering in the hundreds. And many of those women that are in those harems of the kings there, and I suppose they have sub-kings and so forth, a lot of them are women. But I called because a couple of weeks ago I was listening to AM radio, and I do this quite often in the early morning hours just to get an idea of what's going on and stuff and to listen and things. And the broadcaster was talking about, and I live in Northeast PA, and if you have an idea of the geography here, Northeast PA is right butt up against the southern tier of New York State and the Binghamton area. And it goes up into the Catskills and way up into the, upper New York State, where it's a little bit weird. And they were talking about how, and they were kind of proud of it. If you read back into the politics up there, they have a thing where police dogs, if you shoot and kill a police dog for any reason at all, or if you harm a police dog, you go to jail. It's like an automatic thing. So they're pretty into the animal rights aspect. And they have a program, and I guarantee it's federally funded, where the school children in upper New York State they basically read out of these books in front of, let me read it here. I got a quote here. Children are reading to registered therapy dogs.
The insanity of Babylon.
When I heard that, I had to sit back and just laugh, because is that goofy or what? They're having children reading in school. They have these registered therapy dogs, registered by the state, no doubt. The dogs, what are they supposed to do? What's their part in all of this?
Well, Joe, it's just more of the insanity of Babylon, you know. It really is, and it should be a warning to the parents out there that have school age children, that have them in these public fool systems. You know, I'm not going to go as far as call it a sin, but it's the next best thing there. It bumps right up against it.
I guess that's what they do. I don't know. Well, anyway, thanks for taking my call, Richard. I'm enjoying your program tonight, and yesterday evening's deliverance thing, I forget what you call it, but it certainly was convicting, I have to say that.
Well, good. Yeah. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks for your new programming. It seems to be really fruitful there.
Well, good.
And I hope it bears a lot more fruit. Have a good night.
You too, Joe. Thank you.
Bye now.
Phone lines are open, folks. 307-745-5913. And we were talking about the Christians martyred in Oregon. I've got their names here. I'm going to read them off to you. Because when they, at least these, when they had the opportunity to deny Christ and live, they did not take that opportunity. I think the professor was Lawrence Levine, 67. I think he was shot first, so I'm not sure about him. But these others, Christians martyred in Oregon. Kim Dietz, 59 years old. Lucera Alcaraz, 19. Jason Johnson, 20. Quinn Glenn Cooper, 18. Lucas Ebel, 18. Serena Dawn Moore, 44. Trevin Taylor Anspach, 20. Ask yourself, not in pride, not with a false bravado. Well, if I'd have been there, I'd have jumped up, I'd have got the gun, two of us would have done this. You know, we've had those conversations, and you know, maybe that is what would have happened. It's hard to second guess. But John 15:18 tells us, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. And so, Remnant, understand that we are at war. Now, it's a very comfortable war, as our pastor used to say, when we can go get Starbucks coffee and the grocery stores are full of food and there's plenty of gas and diesel for our vehicles, and we can turn the heat on at night. And, you know, it's a very comfortable type of slavery. It's a very comfortable war that we're in. But nonetheless, understand and remember that it is war. That it is a war between the forces of good and the forces of evil. It is a war between the children of light and the children of darkness. It is a war that we have to fight, the daily fight of faith then. It's a war. It's a war. I ask you to keep the families of these Christians that were martyred in Oregon in your prayers. Keep their families in your prayers for comfort. That the blessed assurance of knowing that their children, their loved ones, died professing, yes, I'm a Christian. And you know, the Word of God says that if we will profess Him before men, then He will profess us before His Heavenly Father. So the way I see it, these Christians that were martyred, well, they make it into the kingdom. That's the way I see it. You might ask yourself, are you ready to make that choice? Are you practiced up enough in your faith that you would have made that same choice? That you would not deny Him before men? Now, you know, when we read in our Bible, we haven't got there yet in our Bible reading plan, but we're getting close there in Matthew. Let's flip over there. And again, the phone lines are open, folks. If you got something you want to say, by all means, just give us a call. We'll do our best to get you on the radio. Here in Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again Peter denied it with an oath. That means he swore. He said, "Blankety blank, I don't know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." With a little more colorful language than that. And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, there might have been those, and I think that there were, there in Oregon, when the killer, maybe he'd already killed several that claim to be Christians, wouldn't deny it even in the face of certain death. And maybe he came to some and he said, "Are you a Christian?" And they wavered. And they said, "No." So he just shot him in the leg. And they're recovering now. And before you pass judgment on them, before you say, "Oh, those heathens, those antichrist, those that deny Jesus, they're going to burn in hell." Before you pass that judgment on those, if there are those that did that, and there are those, whether they're faced with certain death or just embarrassment from their friends, remember what we read here in Matthew 26. The Apostle Peter, who back in earlier in Matthew that we were reading about in forgiveness, got that personal lesson here in Matthew 18. Got that personal lesson from Jesus Christ, who walked with our Lord and Savior for what, 3 years? Ate with them. Spent all their time together. That same Apostle Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And God used that. He used the, as it says here, that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter repented of that. And that, I think that event in his life is one of the things that spurred Peter on to become and to continue to grow and to continue to be that disciple and that apostle and to continue that no matter what happened, whether it was the threat of death or imprisonment or beatings or going without, that no matter what, he continued on in preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you also to pray for those out in Oregon that were shot, whether they denied or not, but to pray for them that God would use this to draw them closer to him. They may be, as the Apostle Peter, going out and weeping bitterly. Pray for them. It's what we are to do as Christians. It's not the only thing we're to do, but it is one of the works, one of the things that we are to do. Well, I need to get another drink of water. I think I'll play a song here by Michael Platjay. I sure like that. We'll pull another one here. I know I've got a CD here somewhere. And there it is. We have Michael Platjay CDs available. I think we've got both of them available for a $20 offering if you'd like them. That's almost half price. And but if you'd like it, you can sure write to us and request it, and we'll be glad to send them to you. We've got some here, and they're better than just about anything else you'll hear out on the radio. So we'll go to this, and we'll be back right after this. 307-745-5913.
Bleeding and dying, playing along the side of the road, when a man filled with religion stood alongside him. He said, "I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load." Along come another, and he was a preacher. He just stood there, looking straight at hell. Wouldn't even reach down and try to help him. He just shook his head as he left town. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Where is the kindness that we need to show? And where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord, has it too all passed away? Come a good man, he bent down and he helped him. He bound up his wounds, took him on his way, took him to an inn, told the man there to help him. He said if it cost any more when he got back, he would repay. Where is the love, Lord, that we're supposed to have? Where is the kindness we need to show? And where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord, hasn't it all passed away? Along come Jesus, bent down and he helped me. He bound up my wounds, took me on his way. He took me to an inn, told the man there to help me. Jesus said if it cost any more when he got back, he would repay. You've got the love, Lord, that I'm supposed to have. You've got the kindness that I need to show. You've got the compassion that somehow I let slip away. So give me your love, Lord, me how to give it away. You've got the love, Lord, that I'm supposed to have. You've got the kindness that I need to show. You've got the compassion somehow I let slip away. Give me your love, Lord, give it away. Give me your love, Lord, and teach me how to give it away.
That's from Mike Platt J's CD, I Felt Your Love. We have that as well as the CD Bow Down. Both of those from Mike Platt J. We have them available for a $20 offering if you'd like them. And we'll be glad to send them to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Got a couple verses here in Matthew I thought I would read and, well, remind myself, hopefully remind you as well. And one is here in Matthew 12. And it's Matthew 12, verse 7. And it says, it's the words of Christ, and he said, but if you had known what this means, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. You know, we have to be careful and make sure that we don't fall into that that Pharisaical mindset and do as they did and think we have understanding. And as it warns here, condemn the innocent. We read just about the very same thing in Matthew 9 as Jesus has gone and healed the forgiven the sins of the man who was paralyzed and healed him, and then he goes and calls Matthew and let's read this here about the calling of Matthew. It's Matthew 9:9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came out and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and the sinners? Why is he hanging out with that riffraff? He's supposed to be over hanging over with us righteous ones." That's kind of a Richard added paraphrase, but I sure think that's kind of how it went. But when Jesus, verse 12 of Matthew 9, but when Jesus heard this, he said, It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And I think it would do good. It's mentioned twice here, right here close together, for us to remember that he desires compassion. Another word for that is mercy. And the reference there that I've got marked down goes back to Hosea 6:6. So if you have your Bibles, flip back there. It's just a few chapters back into the Old Testament. And it's right back there somewhere. And it's right there before Joel. And it's Hosea 6:6. And it's right there after Daniel. So if you're having trouble finding it. But Hosea 6:6. Because this, I think it cross-references here. And this will be about the last scripture we get to tonight. But Hosea 6:6. And he says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." And the footnote for that word loyalty is loving kindness. And so when we read in Matthew that he desires, what was it we read? He desires mercy. Let's go back to that. And he says, "Oh, if you just understood this. I desire compassion," he says, which means mercy. "I desire mercy," our God tells us. "I desire compassion," he tells us in Matthew 12. And again, it's a quote from Hosea 6 where he says, "I delight in loyalty, loving kindness, rather than sacrifice." He wants our hearts. He wants us to serve him with a joyful heart. He wants us to forgive from our heart. He wants us to love him from our heart, to desire to do these things. I read to you earlier what our brother Ralph wrote and what came about forgiveness. And one of the things he wrote, "Forgive because it is written to do it." Amen. It's what our God tells us to do. You know, it's like when you write down laws or maybe a chore list for your children. And they look at that and they say, "This is what Dad said to do." And they go and do it. Well, you know it blesses them because it's what they're supposed to do. It's what you as the dad has decreed for them to do. But you know it also blesses you, doesn't it, Dad? When your children do what you tell them to do. And so when we do these things, when we delight in loyalty and compassion and mercy and loving kindness, just as our loving Heavenly Father does when he's dealing with his children, especially when they've returned to him. Well, it blesses him. Well, that's all I got for you tonight. I thank you for tuning in. Joe, thanks for the call. We thank you for tuning in tonight. We thank you for your support as well. Remember that we are dependent on your tithes and offerings to keep these broadcasts going. If you do want to support us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And our website address is scripturesforamerica.org. And we also have the network website, sfawbn.com. I know that's a lot of websites, but if you can get to one of them, you can get linked over to the others. And if you're not computer savvy, if you don't like the internet and that type of stuff, then again, you can write to us. Our address again, Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. And if you write to us, we'll sure write back to you. We'd be glad to send you our Dragon Slayer newsletter. We send it out at no charge, and it has our complete shortwave broadcasting schedule in it, as well as many very interesting articles. We are working on Volume 7 of that Dragon Slayer right now. We hope to have that finished up this week and start printing that next week. Has a fair warning in it about Halloween coming up here at the end of the month. Well, we do remind you, come back Friday night for the Gideon's Armory broadcast at this same broadcast hour, 7 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Central, and 9 o'clock Eastern. And we encourage you to do that. Come back, join Jason, and I'll be tuning in on my iPhone and listening to his broadcast as well. And I'm sure that it'll be a blessing to you if you do that. And then we invite you to join us all for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers Saturday morning, same time but on the AM side, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast. Saturday morning, join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Well, thank you, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His. In Jesus' name, amen.